Welcome to this week's episode of AU Radio's Game Cabinet. This week we're going to be talking about the ever so much loved game Pandemic by Zeman Games.
Ooh. Appropriate thematically.
Yeah, I figured that if you haven't had enough of a pandemic theme yet, we'll bring you one more. But we're also doing it and kind of getting out of the way so that we can get into some of the deeper stuff. This is one of our kind of entry-level, hey, you've made it past Hasbro, essentially, is kind of what I call them games. Like, hey, we want to play games, but we want to elevate past this tiny little, past Candyland, past things like that.
Yeah.
Kind of move up into the world.
Yeah.
And Pandemic is one of those excellent games to start trying. With me this week, I have got the lovely Sarah.
Hello.
And I have got the usual and lovely Hannah.
I'm on the board. I'm just here to make sure everyone sounds good.
Thank you.
We've brought Sarah on because her and I actually just this afternoon were kind of talking about Pandemic and our likes and primarily my dislikes. But it has some really solid points and it was good to bring somebody else on who enjoys those solid points.
Sure, yeah.
Pandemic is a pretty entry-level, easy cooperative game about trying to stop four diseases from kind of causing a pandemic. It is one of those, in my opinion, is one of those great getting into playing a cooperative game, talking with your fellow teammates and kind of learning what to do and how to communicate and get out of that. Okay, we're sitting at a table and I'm against everybody here or against at least, you know, a couple people here. It's, no, we're trying for a common goal.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's a cool aspect. There are lots of games that do that are really in-depth and really crazy, and this is a really good, like, starting position for people to come in. I tried playing some over the weekend, actually. I couldn't find my personal copy that I know I have somewhere in my house, or it's either in my house or in storage, one of the two. So I ended up playing, there is a version available on consoles now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that until kind of just pinking around on some of my library and happened to notice it, picked it up, and played about a half a game until I lost.
Yeah.
As one does.
And that actually is one of the things I enjoy about Pandemic, is that it's kind of on the higher challenging side.
Definitely,
there are some things that you can control and some things you kind of
can't. Yeah.
I really enjoy the fact that it kind of also teaches you, hey, there are going to be board games. You're not going to win. Like, we, especially with video games and stuff like that nowadays, we very much kind of expect to win whatever game we're playing. We expect to beat it. We expect to come out on top as the hero.
Get that good old serotonin.
Yeah, you know. Pandemic is one of those games that will look at you and be like, oh, you're about to win? Not anymore.
How does the console stack up against the board game?
So I played alone. And you're allowed to add in kind of up to like four players like you kind of would. You've got options to have them be run by AI or to kind of run them yourself so that you can have a bit better control over it.
Okay.
But it does have a local multiplayer that I'm probably going to be trying out in the next day or so, whether that's Katie and I or my little brothers are actually big fans of anything board gaming. They just like to do it. They want to get their hands on it kind of like I do. So we'll probably end up doing some of that just to give it another shot. But it turned out really well, and I really enjoyed the little extra animations and stuff that they were able to add to it.
That's fun.
Yeah, that just bring an extra flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game was the first time I'd ever played really a cooperative game. Because, like, I don't usually play a lot of board games. I'm a casual player, I guess, yeah. But my brother Joe loves board games, and so he's always bringing out something new. I can't remember, it was about the same time that we were playing both Betrayal and also Pandemic. And so this one was, like, fully cooperative, whereas Betrayal obviously has, like, the...
That minor competitive.
That minor, yeah.
Minor.
It's, like, cooperative for the first 20 minutes.
Exactly.
And then everybody turns on everybody else.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I really like about Pandemic is the cooperative. Obviously, I'd never played a cooperative board game before this. The first game was very rough because I didn't understand... Like, I'm not playing against these people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, keep being like, wait, I don't have to keep my moves to myself. I can,
like, talk freely about what I want to do with my character. Like, what? This is what?
We get a strategize. But,
right, yeah. So future plays through were a lot more smooth than that because then it clicks and you're like, oh, yeah, we can talk about what everybody's planning and then make it more cool.
Yeah, and actually get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
Which brings it to my biggest stickler with the game, mm-hmm. is I have played through it multiple times with people I've played multiple times with before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even having that really good communication, Pandemic will just cause you to lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's part of the thing I like about it, part of the thing I don't like about it. I don't mind that, hey, you have to play a really tight game mm-hmm. to make sure that you're going to get through this. That I'm pretty okay with.
Right.
But if we're playing a pretty tight game and then there's just enough RNG that suddenly there's so many explosions of pips and things like right. that you can't
yeah.
recover from.
Those chain reactions, man.
Yeah. They're terrible. And it's bad enough when you see like one on one turn and mm-hmm. you're like, okay, and you start kind of taking care of that. But then you hit two or three or God forbid more in one row and like in a row per turns. And you're just like, we played as tight as we could. We tried to, you know, we did the best we kind of could. There's nowhere that we like second guessed our opinion on what we did, but we're still going to lose.
Still going to lose. Yeah.
And that.
Yeah. Cause it also makes, cause like, I think in the rule book, or at least I don't remember specifically it, there's only like one scenario where you like beat the game.
Yeah.
Like I've played a couple of times where we've cured all four diseases, but we've never eradicated anything. So it's like technically not a win, but also, I mean, it's as close as we got.
Yeah, you get a half win on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you're not quite all the way to the full.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like Pandemic is a game that's designed to not let you win.
Right.
Because it's based on kind of real life mythology.
It is. But there are also, so I'm also, we're also talking base Pandemic. There are things that have come out that have gone crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have five flavors of just Pandemic, and then they have three or four seasons of Pandemic's Legacy Edition at this point. I think they're on four, because I think they're doing two boxes per season. Mm-hmm. And at least in Basic, there aren't very many cards that you can be like, okay, well, the UN has made the decision to apply a mask ban, and every country that's going, even if they were like, okay, remove 10 blocks or something like that from the whole board, where they're like, at least half the countries of the world are going to work with this. We're going to try to attempt this. This is a nice one-shot bonus to really help kind of take off the board if you've been playing a tight game and gotten a couple of really bad luck explosions. Mm-hmm. Here's one really good luck card. There is kind of no really nice beneficial cards that help you mm-hmm. kind of fight back. You're always spending for that research. There's nothing that helps you gain a thing of research kind of just right. out of the blue, which is kind of a little more, if we are talking about keeping it pretty realistic, is a thing that can happen. You've got people who are suddenly not used to working on it. They find that one weird little thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, that put us 6 months closer to a vaccination.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of things to help with that. So that right. kind of leaves you in this always against you very hard. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from a guy who likes the Dark Souls board game. Like, I have no problems with losing at all. But my biggest thing is that I have no problem when I make the mistake. But if there's nothing I can do to fight that mistake, that's where it kind of becomes a displeasure of mine.
I also wish it had, because it only can play four players at max. And I don't know. I wish we could play more players. That's what my
yeah.
thing, like, because you have up to 8 character cards and you like draw them randomly, or you can choose your character cards at the beginning, or
yeah,
I can't remember how that
it's
works.
It's kind of a house ruling moment there.
Yeah.
I know plenty of people who are like, yeah, we just draw because that's what it does say to do. And then people who are like, yeah, we've played this 5 or 6 times. We just kind of want to pick. We're going for a good game
right.
at this point.
If they let you have a big team of people, it would make it way too easy.
Well, that's the thing, is that I
still
would
don't
like
think you could beat it. No,
yeah, that's the thing, though, is that I would like to see, like, have them have a game mode where they're like, hey, we're gonna have you start with a couple more cubes out on the field, but you can have 5 or 6 players
right,
join you
yeah.
in this, and now, you know, it's a little bit harder, but can you beat it with that just slight increase? But with the extra manpower, can you actually now overcome it? Is that a problem that we have in real life?
Maybe we should home rules it at some point and have an 8 player Pandemic game where you use all of the character cards.
That'd be really
and you
cool
just,
I'd
and you just double the contagion that's on the field.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be kind of,
yeah
I've never really played this game before.
No, that's a remarkably good idea,
actually.
Like, that
yeah,
would be
yeah.
you'd have to probably do a couple of things to help
mm-hmm.
flex it around a little bit, but
right,
yeah, you could kind of do something
so.
Really similar to that, and
probably choose one of the like the higher level difficulties, because you can play it on like 3 different difficulties, right?
Yeah,
or something like that. And but I think that'd be
Yeah, you could take a harder mission and then do like one and a half the contagion is out there, mm-hmm. and then you could that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so when
you get people who haven't done it.
Right.
When the current pandemic is cleared up for an employee game night, we should play eight player pandemic.
And then we'll have to come back and give it a review on that. Maybe we'll just add on to this one. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if that gives us another half hour worth of stuff to talk about pandemic.
Yeah, we'll just make a whole, we'll be like, and in review of pandemic, turns out the 8-player version is real fun, or like turns out that does not work.
I'm hoping so, but that's also because I've actually been like looking to make my own modules and have been looking into board gaming creation a lot more than I ever used to.
Ooh.
So I might be able to find a balance for that. I might not be able to. I'm hopeful that I will. But
I mean, even if everybody loses every time, it sounds like it's still just the same pandemic.
Fair.
You don't have to make it balanced. You can just make it unbeatable.
But like I said, I love, when I first started getting into it, into board games outside of nothing against them, Hasbro. I'm going to use that term a lot in my Hasbro games. They're just where a lot of people tend to come into gaming in general.
Well, because Hasbro is family, quote, family gaming.
Yeah.
They've made a name for themselves over the course of whenever.
It's got to be at least 40, 50 years. My grandparents have games that their grandparents had. So.
Right. And it's just staples of family homes. You have Monopoly. You have
Sorry.
I love Sorry, too. Such a good game.
But yeah, you have those kind of games, and like when I started reaching outside of what you call your, you know, your Hasbro, your household name kind of gaming, one of my buddies had, his dad had just a closet or like a shelving unit that was stuffed, and you couldn't help but see it because he had it almost right in the middle of one of the hallways. Like, look at these. And I remember the first time we played Pandemic, and I was like, man, we've been playing Cosmic Encounter, which is one of my favorite games. I got my first game of actual Axis and Allies in with them. And then to finally turn around and we were playing these really heavy competitive games, and then to sit down and be like, oh, I just get to work with you to do a thing? Nice. This is nice. And it's brought me to play a lot more cooperative games than I think I would have without being able to play Pandemic the first couple times. Because if I had been introduced with Gloom or a good one, like the Dark Souls, or not Dark Souls, Hellboy board game. Those are both cooperative games, but they're both very heavy-handed cooperative games. That
you meant Gloomhaven? You just said Gloom, and I was like, that's the card game.
I know, I was like, I'm sitting here going, I don't remember Gloom being cooperative, but no, I was Gloom, like waiting to see if you clarified anything
Gloom,
about it.
Gloomhaven. Gloomhaven is a very, very heavy-handed, almost, I'd say it's two steps below D&D.
Okay. I mean, that's basically how we market it in the store, is a tabletop RPG but a board game.
Yeah, and if I had been given that first, I probably would have shied away from cooperatives for a lot longer, just because it was so in-depth, and I hadn't had quite as much fun with my first, like, thrown into the deep pool in-depth competitive game yet, either. Like, I hadn't found one that I was like, I understand why people like this kind of thing.
Yeah. It's very accessible, Pandemic. It's more complicated, but not too complicated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like right in that nice zone.
I think besides tabletop RPG kind of game, I don't know that I've played very many cooperative games. My family's so competitive that we always play competitive games. You don't play cooperative stuff.
I didn't start playing cooperative games really until Kyle was around, and I had somebody who was cool with sitting down and, like, we used to play video games together. We'd sit down and play a whole campaign together. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a second thought to us, so it was cool to start having somebody to actually play those with. Mm-hmm. I've played a lot of Pandemic with Kyle. Oh my goodness, have we played so much Pandemic. He and I play a lot of Magic and stuff, and so we're constantly playing against each other. He and I play a lot of games where we are constantly bashing our faces into each other's. And it's nice every now and then to be like, hey, you want to sit on this side of the table with me? We just fight the table instead of each other for once. Yes, please. And for a long time, Pandemic was one of the few good competitor, like good cooperative games that you could actually get your hands on and like a regular basis that wasn't either old or was one of those Wingspan-like games where it was out and then just disappeared right. for 7 to 12 months at a time. Right. And you're like, okay, yeah, put me on the list the next time you get one. Oh, I'm the 25th guy for that cool cooperative game that nobody can get a hold of. Awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, they...
Wingspan!
Yeah, the way that the person who developed it got a hold of a good publisher who could create volume for them was a very good thing for the gaming industry, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, there might be some, like I said, that came before it, but there's a reason Pandemic's been on the top 40 list for 10 plus years now.
Right.
It's a good, solid game for you to be playing. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it teaches you to lose, which...
Right, yeah.
I play a lot of games where I lose a lot, so...
I don't like losing.
I've come to accept it.
I'm spoiled in the gaming sense where I play games that encourage you to win, not lose.
I've just been, I think I've finally just gotten to the point with playing long enough that I just want to play my games at this point. And I've come to note that sometimes I'm going to have to play a game I'm really trash at because that's going to get that person to later play the game I actually want. You know, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hate Pandemic. I'm not the biggest fan. But if my family's like, hey, let's play a game of Pandemic. And I'm like, yeah, but later on, let's play. Hey, Dad, I want to play around a God tier with you to kind of give another push on that game for you. Because you didn't enjoy the first one, but there were X factors. Let's see how you enjoy just you and me. That's what I'll take it where I can get it.
That's fair.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying playing a little bit of revisiting Pandemic.
In a digital format.
Digital.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is that on the digital format, I can also invite my friends who are in their own houses.
Right.
So, no, that's fair. I like the influx of digital gaming, tabletop simulator, and all of mm-hmm. those where people are able to get together and play board games, like literal board games.
Yeah.
In a digital format mm-hmm. because nobody can do that right now.
Yeah. And that's... It's where I feel really privileged that I happen to live with my buddy George. So he's a big board gaming guy as well. So it's pretty easy to be like, hey, I want to play this right now. All right, cool. Let's play that. And then if we got time, let's play a round or two of Magic afterwards even, you know.
Nice.
And so that's pretty easy. And then also staying with my folks and stuff like that. I just have a decent little pool of people that I can actually kind of get games in with. But I know there are lots of people who live really far from home and, mm-hmm. you know, most of their friends are completely isolated. And I'm glad to see that consoles are even trying to be like, hey, let's get a video game formatted version of this. Ticket to Ride has one now.
Whoa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's one that my family is a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about multiple times that the next time I'm staying at George's house or something and the family's like, we really want to do a thing. Cool. Let's play some Ticket to Ride just over Xbox.
Is it only Xbox right now that has them?
I don't know. I only own an Xbox. I like PlayStation. They're perfectly fine. But I've had more friends who are on Xbox for longer. Fair. And then I'm kind of at the point I've gotten more friends on PlayStation now. But
I'll have to check out the PlayStation store and see if they have them.
Have those in? Yeah, because that'd be really cool. And that's the thing that I'm hoping that they'll eventually get to is what some of these third-party distributor or third-party companies are already doing with video games, where I'm hoping they'll eventually make their own cross-platform server. I know mm-hmm. that's a lot to ask for a board game, but with how much this pandemic's hit us, I'm hoping that that's just going to cause more for that cross-platforming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there was talk for a while with the new PS that was coming out where they were thinking about trying to make some games cross-platform compatible, but that requires cooperation between PlayStation and Xbox.
Hey, well, Xbox has admitted that they're willing and they're ready to go. And they're already proving it with games like Epic, a series of games, Fortnite, as much as I hate saying that word, Dauntless, Call of Duty's now doing it. A few games have started doing it, and it's because they're essentially going around Sony and Xbox and Microsoft's back and being like, okay, we're just going to make a server that does this. You guys can't tell us, no, really. Like, most of the guys who have done it, they're like, we're kind of big enough, you can't tell us no.
Ask for permission later.
Yeah, we're going to just do it. And if you don't like it, we're sorry. But I'm hoping with this...
Kind of one of those like, hey, if you don't like it, we just won't make a copy of our game available on your platform.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big hand when, like I said, you know, games like Fortnite Yeah. Or like, yeah, we're going to do it. Oh, you're the number one battle royale currently on the market. If you were to pull yourself off of our market, we would lose millions of dollars.
Well, and then Xbox would get a ton more, because then everybody would just be like, well, I want to play Fortnite, so I guess I'm going to go buy an Xbox.
Or a Switch, or a PC, of which you can play with all of your friends from all of those, you know? So I'm hoping that they start doing that just more openly, so that we can play some of these board gaming things across platform. Because if they do have it on PlayStation, it'd be really cool if I could call you and be like, hey, you want to play a game of Ticket to Ride? Because I'm kind of bored out of my gourd. Oh, yeah, I'm doing nothing, you know, or I'm sitting here painting minis. Yeah, that's something I can do on the second hand.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. It's just not a thing that's available quite yet.
Should be.
It will be one day.
And I know not everybody has a system that can run stuff like Tabletop Simulator. For instance, I only have this tiny little laptop that is sitting next to me right now. It cannot run Tabletop Simulator. It will crash.
Or you have a computer and you just haven't been able to buy the new power supply it needs. So also, it's now a giant brick.
Bricks!
So, yeah, exactly. And that's where it'd be nice for the consoles to kind of start bringing it out. And that's where I think Pandemic and Zeman Games have a chance to, like, take some of their games that they have out there and have on that digital platform and kind of make that push for the littler guy to get that cross-platforming.
That'd be really cool.
Because I'd also really like to be able to hit up my grandma who lives in, you know, north of us, and I'd really like to be able to be like, hey, you want to play this weird board game that you've probably never played, but it'll give us a chance to sit down and more or less do as kind of a Zoom chat without me needing to ask you to buy the $60 game. Because I could totally take a Zoom chat, put stuff down on the board, but she's not going to have her cards. She won't have her pieces. You know, you kind of need your own boards if you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be nice to not need to.
It would be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes playing games is a great way to connect with people. Especially during times like this, where we've all exhausted our conversations at this point. We like, it's just a rinse and repeat of, man, I miss you. I can't wait for everything to go back to normal. Right.
So that we can actually have something new happen.
You'd be like, oh.
We all now know way too much about each other because we have nothing else to talk about.
Way too much. We're past all the general niceties and pleasantries that everybody does, and we're into the, oh man, let me tell you about this one time in my childhood. I've been thinking about this a lot, and it was a dark time for a 6-year-old. Like,
yeah, we need to be able to get back and play our games, and it would be good for, I don't know, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to come to a point where board games will be more available in a video format, but not taking away from the actual experience of playing board games.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those wishy-washy things that I get really nervous about.
I get you. I am such a tactile person. I love sitting at a table. I love feeling pieces in my hand. It's part of the reason I like doing D&D and Pathfinder so much with you.
Yeah.
It's the reason I haven't played any online versions of those games. Right. Something about just the community and the tactile is so much fun. But I love the accessibility of digital formatted games.
Yeah.
And it is. It is a very hard line.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Like, I would rather somebody come in and buy a Ticket to Ride, but currently we're in a really weird state and time.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So it's a weird place to be like, yeah, I would rather be able to go out and buy my games, but I mean, I bought 3 God Tier Champions last week and I've been able to play 2 games because I have a limited pool of people that I can play with.
Right.
And like, even if I try to push some of those other people to come play with me, they're not going to enjoy it as much. And that's another thing, is I don't like to push people outside the comfort of their board gaming experience.
Well, you've got other games like Warhammer, where you have to be present for Warhammer. You don't have to be.
People have been tabletop simulatoring it.
Really?
Yeah!
I've just seen a decrease in a lot of our sales for that.
Our good dude Robert, who's our hobbyist guy, had kind of made a good point that people aren't really playing it right now as much as they're using it as a hobby for the building, painting, and collecting aspect. But people are, with us kind of going into phase 2, we're seeing more people buying kits I'm going to start building, painting, so I can be ready for when we're over. So it's been a little nice. Like, that'll be nice to get those kind of people back in. It'll be nice to get people in playing Pandemic and our other games on our usual nights that we were doing that.
I'm so excited to have the game room back up and get to hear people laughing and joking and having a good time.
I can't wait for people to be able to come into the new gaming like room and area and being able to actually like use it for the first couple times that people get to, because it's going to be
really cool custom tables that we have.
I'm ready for this pandemic.
Eat paninis and drink coffee.
No, I think the pandemic, that's why it's really hard to talk about Pandemic, I think, actually, is the fact that it is such, once again, not dogging on it, a great game, but it is such a basic entry-level style game. There isn't a whole lot to talk about the creative in-depthness of it. It's very, you know, you get a few people who do some cool powers, but most of the powers are actions you can kind of already take.
Right.
Like, there's a few that have some cool ones of like, oh, gain a bonus when you're researching or gain a bonus during this kind of thing.
So,
but
for the game, your roles are different kinds of scientists? Is that more or less?
Yeah, some of them are like first responder type characters, and then there's research and scientist and...
And then
transport. There's like a helicopter pilot or something.
And then there's
like that,
operations.
Okay.
Which is like your operations are supposed to be like, if you take it more to a military thought aspect, they're the ones that kind of go out and scout out stuff to like see, is there an outbreak happening over here of this? Okay, what are the steps we need to take, and who of those other people do we need to bring in? Do we need to bring the first responders in, or can we just send a vaccine and get it like, you know, knocked out real quick?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So it is. I mean, we've already established it's a cooperative game, but it's very much a triage kind of game. Or?
Kind of, yeah. Because like, so I forget what the actual names of all the characters are, but there's like a nurse or EMT type character where you can place them somewhere, and as long as they're in that place, no new cases can spring up because they're there to do triage or whatever.
Yeah, to fight it off constantly.
And like, you can move every round, but you also have to have tickets to, like, if you're trying to fly from one city to the next, but then like the helicopter pilot can just
take
beam
you there.
Anybody over. Yeah, we basically. Right.
One of the guys I was playing with last night was he could move one person to another person.
Yeah.
And like, that's a really potent dude. That guy, I'm pretty sure almost every time I've played that game, he gets picked.
Yeah.
Like, if we're not just drawn blind, he definitely ends up getting picked because of the fact that that's a really handy maneuver to have. Yeah. But that's why I'm talking about there are a few people who do things that you don't normally able to do, but it makes them almost mandatory picks so that you can have that option to even
do
at that point. Like, I feel that kind of corners your
picks. Yeah.
Gotcha. Kind of makes it so if you don't get those specialized people, it's hard to...
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't get as much coverage over the board that way either, because like, there's lots of limitations for travel and stuff like that when you're playing certain characters.
Yeah.
Without Helicopter Man.
Without Helicopter Man. Yeah.
And that's what makes it a little hard. Like, you kind of feel like you're talking about the same stuff because it doesn't have a super in-depth creative...
Right, yeah.
Rule system, which is part of the reason we were talking about it and talking about why it's such a good one to get into is it's not so complicated that you can't pick it up.
It doesn't have a small novel that you have to read before you play it to introduce yourself to the game.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I played Betrayal and George handed us the rule book.
Yes.
And I was just like, I don't know what you want me to do with this information that you've just given me, but this is a children's book.
Yeah.
Not a rule set of a game.
Exactly, though. Yes. Like, it doesn't have that kind of heavy, you gotta read all these rules. That's actually, you know what? That's one of the biggest things I'll give it. And I'm a stickler for rule books because I have to read the rule books most of the time, or I'm the one who's at least, you know, learning how to teach people. So I'm constantly learning, like having to read the rule books, hoping to find a YouTube video that might explain what's happening, which I've come across a couple games that I'm really excited to try, but they're a novel for a rule book and there's nothing on YouTube. And so it's like, okay. And then even worse, they're poorly written rule books. You look at it and you're like, how is this supposed to make any kind of sense when I'm playing the game?
That's it just reminded me, because I took home The Martian or Martian, I forget the exact name of it from our demo game.
Terraforming Mars?
Not Terraforming Mars, it was a different one.
Oh, First Martian.
Yes, First Martian, that's
that one.
I
took that one home. And yeah, it's got like a really long, complicated rule book. And every YouTube video that I've watched is like, this game is broken. I don't know how to play it.
Like, it's people just like on YouTube asking for help.
Yeah.
Help.
That's, you know what? We might have to do First Martian because that's a sign, in my opinion, of a not great game. If YouTube isn't like, you know what? It just doesn't exist. You know, we're just going to ignore it. It's worse when YouTube has to be like, help, please.
They're like, this is what we did. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
I don't understand what they wanted me to do, but this is how we made it not suck.
But with Pandemic, their rulebook, really well written.
Mm-hmm.
Should you be more of a visual see-do kind of learner, they've got YouTube videos from the creators at this point that might not have been around always, but at this point, those are around for you to get good, solid explanations to things. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to find when you're like, well, I'm trying to do something a little weird. What are the technical rules to this? You know, it's a little easier to find those technical rules and be like, oh, okay, this is exactly how it's worded. I'm going to take it for exactly how it's worded. That's most of the time, that's what I do, just so that if they wrote the rule poorly, that's their fault, not mine, if I just found a loophole. And so I take my rules very literally and try to push, but they have a very good, nope, this is how this works. Nope, this is how this works.
I'm very much a fan, because I don't play a ton of games, right? I'm very much a fan of the keep it simple, stupid rule sets, where there's not a lot of room for interpretation, where it's this is how you do it, and it's not, this is how you do it, except in these situations where these cards are played, and then it changes this rule into this rule, and then it says this.
Nope.
I'm like, no, if I play a card, I want to know exactly what that card does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want there to be any room for wiggling.
Yeah, and that's what Pandemic does really well, and that's also what I think makes it such a good, solid starting out of the Hasbro Games game, is being like, oh, okay, everything does what it says, everything's very to the point, it does what you want. I'm kind of a rules lawyer sometimes, because I GM, so I have to know a lot of the rules most of the time, and I have to, unfortunately, memorize a lot of that stuff. But it also makes it to when I'm playing board games, and if I know the rule set, I will bend those rules every way I can if that book will let me bend it in half, oh, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I'm, like, so trepidatious of ever GMing a game for you.
Oh yeah.
Because I've seen how you behave.
You've seen the weird things I try to do with a bard.
And I'm just gonna be like, no. You'd be like, why? I'm like, because I said so.
I accept that answer pretty well most of the time. It's only when I'm like, no, but like seriously, all the rules line up. I found this thing that I can do. You're gonna ruin this, aren't you? I'm hoping not to, but let's see what happens. That's how I like to do it.
I like keeping divine intervention, like, right in my back pocket to just be like, nope, your character dies suddenly, mysteriously, from unknown circumstances. Congratulations, make a new character.
Every fight I go into, you're just like, and you see an evil cleric. Must kill that first. Why? She probably got divine intervention on it. Why? To kill me. Why? I do stupid things.
Specifically to kill Drew.
Specifically for me. Why? Because I have a tendency to do stupid things.
The whole point of the campaign is to see how long everyone can keep Drew's character alive.
Oh, I would be so down with that. Be careful, though. I'm making a rogue for this one. I might even make an arcane trickster for that.
All right, Candlekeep Mysteries. Here we go.
How long can I stay alive?
Sorry, I derailed this.
Right. I want to do that now. It sounds fun.
That's one of the things that I like, though. It sounds very appealing to me that it is a simple game, because I've seen Pandemic on the shelf, and the other games that I have seen on said shelf seem so intimidating that I've always just assumed that Pandemic is also a very intimidating game.
No, and that's the thing I'm always telling people when they come in. If you need anything, let us know. Part of that is, hey, if you need help knowing what's a more, like, reasonable game to get into, I can help you there. Like, that's what we're here for. That's what we're around to do. I've got a pretty decent catalog of those guys. I'm pretty sure I got 5 or 6 games that I'm pretty sure that I'm like, oh, if you're just starting to get after these guys. After that, I'm going to start throwing bigger things at you, because if you like and enjoy and have played those games regularly enough, you're probably ready for that next step. And that's kind of what's nice, is that like Pandemic, Catan, Carcassonne,
right.
And the last two kind of fluctuate. There are a couple, normally somebody has a pretty decent game, like heavy game in there, and maybe a kind of a medium style game. And I'm like, all right, if you've played those and you enjoy them enough, it's kind of time to make that next. Yeah, it's that next. Yeah, you've
gateway drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've now beaten your, you've now gotten your first taste. Now let us give you something that you're going to crave.
We give you the first one on a discount, and then we get your money.
do you like to cooperate, or do you like to destroy your foes? Either way, I have the thing for you.
Trick question. We have all of them.
Exactly.
We can do both.
It's actually one of the things I really like about Gloomhaven. The fact that I can play with my buddy, yet still beat the crap out of bad guys makes me really happy. That's why I like D&D. I like to play as the good guy and go through and beat up stuff. It's fun.
I love being able to just explode things. It's
explosions. I'm actually really stoked now for our Pathfinder game. It actually is a kind of a theme. I've finally finished setting up your newest hex and kindred thing, so I'm pretty stoked about that guy. It's going to be a little broken compared to most of the cantrips of Pathfinder, but I've always found their cantrips and their spells are a little weak and lacking to start with, in my opinion. I get that they become real potent later on. Please give me a D4 for my cantrips, man. Like, a D3? Are you kidding me? Come on. Yeah, I hit for less than a dagger, and I don't get to add my mat, but, you know, I don't get to add anything to it, really. Or worse, I do, and it's equivalent to what the rogue's going to be adding.
I mean, at least you've never been critically hit by a shard of glass, so...
No, I haven't. That's why you don't smart off to your GMs, though. I was going to just have you take 1 point, but now you're a smart aleck about it. We'll have it roll to see if it hits you. Well, it rolls a nat 20. You take 2 points now.
All right, so Pandemic. Good game.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Solid game.
It is a solid game for those who are getting into gaming. If you're... if you're playing Risk, if you're playing things like Rising Suns, God Tier, Gloomhaven, Power Grid even, you might not enjoy this game as much.
Right.
It'd still be great, and it'll be a 100% treasure to have for your friends who don't like board gaming.
Quote, right.
Yeah, you can. Right. I'd probably say 70% of the people I meet that are like, I don't particularly like board gaming, but my friend's trying to get me into it. Why don't you like board gaming? I don't like really playing against people who... you know, kind of know what they're doing. Cool. Take this cooperative game. Even if they know what they're doing, you're winning because of it. And that's one of the best things the pandemic's going to give you.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it.
Sarah, you got any closing thoughts on Pandemic and any suggestions towards it?
No, I think that because I really enjoyed the cooperativeness of the... I like cooperative games in general. So I like a big betrayal. I like the Forbidden... because there's a whole series of Forbidden Sky, Forbidden Desert, Forbidden Island. Those ones are really fun. And so, I don't play really big, crunchy like games like Gloomhaven and stuff like that. So I enjoy that one.
You know what? I know you've been breaching into them RPGs. I think you'd really like Gloomhaven at this point.
I think so too. I did play one time back when we were still doing employee game nights with Max and Sam. And I did enjoy it a lot, and I've been playing a lot more RPGs, so.
And that would be the thing that I'd actually kind of like to see from Pandemic, is something that's a little one-shottier, I guess. Maybe instead of it doesn't take particularly long to begin with.
Right.
But maybe even having something a little smaller, kind of like how the tiny epics do the ultra-tiny epics.
Right, yeah.
Give me a tiny epic Pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, like something that I could just whip out, play in 15 minutes.
Pandemic. A little pocket pandemic.
Yeah, a little pocket pandemic. That'd be adorable. I know so many of my friends who would buy one just to be like, I got a pandemic in my pocket.
Aw, now I want Get on it, Z-Man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna leave you fine folks alone for this evening. Thank you for joining us here at the Gabe Cabinet. I am your host, Drew, featured with my friend, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Crazy Hannah on the board.
Happy to be here.
Next week, we've already committed to next week, haven't we?
I think we're doing God tier, weren't we?
Yep, that's what I was making sure. This is our final week to commit into stuff beforehand. We're going to leave it a little more free flow from here. But these are some of the games that I really wanted to talk about right off the bat. Like I said, I wanted to get the cheese of Pandemic out of the way and get to it, because it is a good game. It's something you should at least play once or twice even. Mm-hmm. Next week, though, we'll be doing God tier, where hopefully we'll make sure he has time for it. But we'll have George here, because he's been playing quite a bit with me.
I would love to have George back
so on. It would be really rad if I can convince him to come up and chat God tier with me. And
I bet a lot of our listeners would like to hear George as well.
Yeah, I bet they would.
Everybody misses George.
We'll try to get that going. If not, I've got at least one or two other people who said they would be willing to come up and talk, and I'll just have to swoop them up on a Monday or something before we record and play a match or two with them so they can kind of actually get down on it, or play a couple times throughout the week even.
All right.
Oh man, I never thought about that. I own enough God tier stuff that I could do like a Zoom game of it by giving somebody part of my stuff. Be like, all right, we're gonna select gods, we're gonna select champions together. Okay, here's your starter set with your board and dice and everything you need. I've got guys over here, and then we'll use quarters or something to indicate my champions and your, you know, my champion, your champion followers and such. I never thought about that, but there is a way I could like make little tokens and essentially do one.
Amazing.
Love it.
I love games that you can expand on like that though. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
You know, it starts with two little heroes and then suddenly you have like 8, 9.
Nice. Nice.
And they're beautiful. I'm excited. God tier, next week. Well, not next week. Week after next.
Week after next.
Yeah, week after next.
Give you time to play it.
Yeah, we'll play a small one.
Small one. All right.
All right, everybody. Week from next.
Next time.
Yeah, whatever. Next time.
All right.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.